1323.
I promise I will not judge any person only as a teenager.
A youth perspective on national current affairs.
The Commonwealth Department of Family and Community Services has recently released its interim, or first stage, report looking at the success of its youth allowance system.
In the first of the two-part special, 1323 looks at the report and how well it portrays the effects youth allowance has had on young Australians.
If young people are required to remain in the education and training system, then it would be reasonable to expect that those systems are more flexible, better able to meet their needs, and provide some opportunities and choices.
Coming up after this week's headlines.
The Queensland Government has announced a new project to monitor and research the housing needs of young people. The Department of Housing has allocated $100,000 to the South East Queensland Youth Accommodation Coalition to conduct the research and has also begun to develop a Young People's Housing Statement. The statement will be part of the National Youth Pathways Action Plan and the Whole of Government Youth Suicide Prevention Strategy.
A survey commissioned by the federal government has found that 14% of young women have experienced sexual assault and that one-third of young people experienced physical violence in their dating relations. The result of the research will assist in developing strategies to prevent domestic violence.
Trials safe injecting houses in Victoria are under threat again, with the state's National Party describing the proposal as a dangerous social experiment. However, the Nationals need the support of the Liberal Party to block the proposal in Parliament.
And finally, the Queensland University of Technology has announced that commercial TV drama does not reflect Australia's cultural diversity. Research into casting practices on programs such as Neighbours show that new migrants are basically unseen on television soaps. Report author Harvey May believes accurate representation in mainstream media is essential.
Jenny Bourne, Assistant Secretary of the Office of Youth and Training, Department of Family and Community Services, explains the federal government's interim report into the youth allowance.
The early indications are that youth allowance is achieving its objectives. In particular, more students from lower income families are receiving assistance. There's been a similar trend among young people under 18. So they're really positive things. Another interesting aspect is that the survey indicates that a majority of parents, and that's 59% of parents, support the principle of parental means testing. So what that's saying to the government is, well, they've made the right decision in moving the way they have in putting a parental means test on youth allowance.
What about the young people's, I guess, opinions of that parental means test?
Young people, that's been slightly different, I guess, but not markedly so. The issue, how it came through in the survey results, was that more young people who were receiving support from their parents was that parents were providing more motivation and guidance to their children if they were looking for work, to sort of say, well, you know, you need to get out there and get a job. But parents were also more likely to encourage their young people to study because they can see that for young people to be competitive, they have to have as good an education as they can possibly attain, as well as having all the life skills. Parents were more inclined to say to their young people, you know, studying is probably a better option than trying to look for work.
The report found there was a connection between means testing parents and the amount of pressure parents put on their dependent children. Can you, I guess, explain the way that works?
The report didn't find that there was a connection between means testing and the amount of pressure that parents put on their dependent children to study. What the survey found, that outside of the issue of financial responsibility, parents generally saw themselves as having a major role in motivating and guiding their young people's work and study choices. The report found that parental pressure or encouragement to find work was more likely to occur where the parents were providing support to their unemployed young people. So, I mean, although parents were sort of saying, well, come on, get on, you can't just sit there, I'm supporting you, most of these young people in those categories actually found a job or enrolled in a course.
Nevertheless, that seems like, I'm not saying that that's a bad pressure, but seems like some kind of connection is, I guess, still present.
Sorry, I'm not saying there isn't a connection. There is a connection, but the question was whether there was an actual finding, and it wasn't just to study. I mean, it was to get out and look for work as well.
Do you think there's a fine line between encouragement and forcing young people to study? I mean, a lot of people talk about the pressures that young people face and things like that.
Look, I know from my own experience and from when my boys were growing up, it's important that people are studying, doing things that they're interested in. And one of the issues around the introduction of youth allowance was that we were looking for schools and institutions to be more responsive to the needs of young people.
Career opportunities are one and never enough. Every job they offer used to keep you out the door. Career opportunities are one that never enough.
Helen Stokes from the Youth Research Centre has recently conducted her own studies into the effects of youth allowance. She is concerned about the quality and availability of training and educational choices for young people.
If there's actually courses provided that the young people are able to go to that are giving them some sort of future through that course and leading on to something that is some sort of incremental way of getting credentials that can move them on, then I see it as a positive sort of result. But in some cases those courses are there, and in a lot of cases they're not, because there's still very little coordination. Once you're outside the school system, there's very little coordination with how you go about actually finding the courses and how you go about getting into them. So most of the young people I spoke to had some sort of counsellor, like a JPET worker, who was negotiating their way through that sort of maze of finding those courses and getting their activity tests for 20 hours a week together for them.
What impact can it have on a young person if they are, I guess, forced to go through education or training that isn't really suited to them?
Some of the young people I spoke to were in that situation, in that they'd already been out of school for a while. They'd maybe had a pretty adult role in the fact that they'd been earning money, they'd been out having jobs, but for some reason they'd had to return to where they were living, and had now gone, had to go back onto income support. So they were under 18 and then had to attend education or training, and they were in a course, and they found it pretty negative in that they were back in some sort of training situation where they didn't feel that they were being treated as adults. And they were back getting into trouble, basically, because they were, the relationship that they had with whoever was running the course wasn't very positive.
Phil O'Donoghue from the Welfare Rights Centre is also critical about the support young people receive in their studies.
Some young people who remain in the education and training system, in large part because of the strong incentives that exist under the youth allowance for doing so, indicate that teachers in particular and trainers, that there are young people with low levels of motivation and some behaviour issues while they participate in education and training, suggesting that they're reluctant students and trainees. Similarly, the report notes that there's, in some areas, limited training options available, high travel costs, and fees associated particularly with TAFE course participation, all of which we would hope will be addressed by state and Commonwealth governments at some point in the near future.
Do you think there's still, I guess, gaps in the system that young people can fall through?
Jenny Bourne, Department of Family and Community Services.
The system itself is quite sound. I think there shouldn't be gaps. It's really, sometimes people don't seek help. when they need it. People say, oh, well, you can't, you know, I'm not eligible for youth allowance because my parents, they earn too much money. Sometimes people make those judgments and they don't test the system. What I would encourage every young person to do is to test the system. Go and apply and see what happens. Some people fall through the cracks, but I don't think it's necessarily a fault of the system. I think it's more likely to be people have not tested the system.
So it's the fault of the people?
Well, I wouldn't say it's the fault of the people. It's perhaps a lack of understanding. I just encourage them to test it.
Phil O'Donoghue from the Welfare Rights Centre is also critical about the support young people receive in their studies.
Generally, community and youth organisations were uncomfortable with the changes that began in July of 98 because for that small number of young people for whom relations with their parents are under stress, in those situations, this system can not cater to every individual's needs. There's also some fundamental issues that were not given as a brief in this evaluation, and that has to do with the level of payments that are made. And basically, young people under the Social Security system are paid at a rate that is less than 70% of the poverty line. It's in fact one of the lowest Social Security payment rates of any in the country. And whereas, for example, single adult pensioners are paid at 107% of the poverty line. And so the actual value of the money received is a lot less.
Youth Affairs Council of South Australia spokesperson Kim Davey is also highly critical of the interim report. He says that a lot of young people have complained to him about the difficulties of surviving on youth allowance.
If you're under 18 and at home, the fortnightly allowance is about $145 a fortnight. If you're under 18, or in fact if you're 18 and over and away from home, the allowance is the same. It's $267 a fortnight. Now, that's the maximum payment. Many youth allowance recipients are receiving less because their parents have crossed the threshold. So if you're over 18 and living away from home, you're expected to live on the princely sum of less than $135 a week. That is well below the $200 a week poverty line that was calculated some years ago. $135 a week, if we look at modern living costs, rents, particularly in cities like Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane, where rents have increased significantly, I think it's just incredible that we expect young people to live on that level of income support. And it's certainly not going to improve much with the introduction of the GST.
The rate is set by the government, and that is the rate that we then have to pay people. But we are always looking at the claims that people make around this issue, and we're doing research into, well, what does this mean? We have to look into those things. I mean, that's part of my job as a public servant, to consider what people are saying to us and report back to government.
Next week, we speak further with Jenny Bourne and with Kim Davies from the Youth Affairs Council of South Australia about the age of independence for younger people in Australia today. Is it at 18, 21 or even 25 years of age? On today's program, we've featured Melbourne artist Honey Smack and also tracks from The Clash, Chug and The Chills.
1323 is produced at 4ZZZ in Brisbane by Lucas Moore and Heather Anderson with the assistance from the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
Contributions are welcome. Phone 07-3252-1555, fax 07-3252-1950, PO Box 509, Fortitude Valley, Brisbane, Queensland 4101. Email hjk@dingoblue.net.au.